Blog Talk Radio.
Here.
Yeah.
In 1977,
this is pretty
Oh, boy, it really is long. Well, anyway, let's go right to the bottom and see if we can sum it up, and maybe there's a paragraph here at the bottom. Oh, my goodness, it's longer than I thought. Keep going.
Yeah, my God. Well, anyway, it's happening, and they're trying to correct it, but it's a big deal. It's a big thing.
They haven't said a word about this on the mainstream news.
No, you're not going to hear about this out there anywhere. There's one more article I wanted to bring up tonight because I have that here. That kind of really bothered me. I wanted to read it last night, but we really didn't have a chance.
Goodbye, First Amendment. Trespass bill will make protest illegal. How about that?
Yeah, just when you thought that the government would ruin the First Amendment any further, the House of Representatives approved a bill on Monday that outlaws protests in instances where some of government officials are nearby, whether or not you even know. U.S. House of Representatives voted 388-3 in favor of H.R. 347 late Monday, a bill which is being dubbed the Federal Restricted Buildings and Grounds Improvement Act of 2011. In the bill, Congress officially makes it illegal to trespass on the grounds of the White House, which on the surface seems not just harmless and necessary, but somewhat shocking that such a rule isn't already on the books. The wording in the bill, however, extends to allow the government to go after much more than tourists that traverse the wrought iron White House fence. Under the act, the government is also given the power to bring charges against Americans engaged in political protest anywhere in the country.
Under current law, the White House trespasses are prosecuted under a local ordinance, a Washington, D.C. legislation that can bring misdemeanor charges for anyone trying to get close to the president without authorization. Under H.R. 347, a federal law will formally be applied to such instances, but will also allow the government to bring charges to protesters, demonstrators, and activists at political events and other outings across America. The new legislation allows prosecutors to charge anyone who enters a building without permission or with the intent to disrupt a government function with a federal offense. That's not right. If Secret Service is on the scene, but the law stretches to include not just the president's palatial Pennsylvania Avenue home. Under the law, any building or grounds where the president is visiting, even temporarily, is covered as any building or grounds restricted in conjunction with an event designated as a special event of national significance.
It's not just the president who would be spared from protesters either. Covered under the bill is any person protected by the Secret Service. Although
Rick
such Santoro. Yeah, and Mitt Romney and all these other assholes. Although such protection isn't extended to just everybody, making it a federal offense to even accidentally disrupt an event attended by a person with such status essentially crushes whatever currently remains of the rights to assemble and peacefully protest. Hours after the act passed, presidential candidate Rick Santorum was granted Secret Service protection for the American protester. This indeed means that glitter bombing the former Pennsylvania senator is officially a very big no-no, but it doesn't stop with just him. Santorum coverage under the Secret Service began on Tuesday, but fellow GOP hopeful Mitt Romney has already been receiving such security. A campaign aide who asked not to be identified confirmed last week to CBS News that former House Speaker Newt Gingrich has sought Secret Service protection as well, and even former contender Herman Cain received the armed protection treatment when he was still in the running for the Republican Party nod.
In the text of the act, the law is allowed to be used against anyone who knowingly enters or remains in restricted building or grounds without lawful authority to do so. But those grounds are considered any area where whether it's President Obama, Senator Santorum, or Governor Romney, will be temporarily visiting, whether or not the public is even made aware. Entering such a facility is thus outlawed, as is disrupting the orderly conduct of official functions. Engaging in disorderly conduct within such proximity to the event or acting violent to anyone anywhere near the premises. Under that verbiage, this means a peaceful protest outside a candidate's concession speech would be a federal offense, but those occurrences covered as special event of a national significance don't just stop there either, and neither does the list of covered persons that receive protection.
The Secret Service protection awarded to visiting dignitaries, this also means, for instance...
No, outside the current presidential race.
Outside of the current presidential race, the Secret Service is responsible for guarding an array of politicians, even those outside America. George W. Bush is granted protection until 10 years after his administration ended, or 219. And every living president before him is eligible for a lifetime. Federal-funded coverage. Visiting heads of state are extended and offered, too, in events sanctioned by those of national significance. A decision that is left up to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security extends to more than the obvious. Well, presidential inaugurations and meetings of foreign dignitaries are awarded the title. Nearly three dozen events in all have been considered a national security event since the term was created under President Clinton. Among past events of the DHS sanction, NSSE list are Super Bowl, this last one, the funerals of Ronald Reagan and Gerald Ford, most State of the Union addresses, and the 2008 Democratic and Republican National Conventions.
With Secret Service protection awarded to visiting dignitaries, this also means, for instance, that the federal government could consider a demonstration against any foreign president on American soil as a violation of federal law, as long as it could be considered disruptive to whatever function is occurring. When thousands of protesters are expected to descend on Chicago this spring for the 2012 G8 and the NATO summits, they also will be approaching the grounds of the national security event. That means disruptive activity to whichever court has to consider it will be a federal offense under the Act.
And don't forget, if you intend on fighting such charges, you might not be able to rely on evidence of your own. In the state of Illinois, videotaping the police under current law brings criminal charges. So don't fret. It's not like the country is really will really try to enforce it, right? And on the bright side, does this mean that the law could apply to law enforcement officers reprimanding use of excessive force on protesters? Probably. Of course, some fear that the act is being created just to keep those demonstrations from ever occurring. And given the vague language on par with the loose definition of the terrorists under the NDAA, it passed this act is expected to do a lot more harm to the First Amendment than good. And I'm gonna stop there because we have to
give a call to. Let's take that.
Should President Obama suspend the right to assemble, Americans might expect another apology to accompany it with the Commander-in-Chief condemns the very act he authorizes. If you disagree with such a decision, however, you don't take it to the White House. 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in the vicinity is, of course, covered under this act. So,
becoming more and more restrictive.
And the fact that these sons of bitches can get away with it is just
without a ripple of dissent.
It's not mentioned in the news whatsoever, of course.
Yeah.
And you had to go to Russian TV to get this, okay, to hear about this. I mean, this is where you get it, RT. It's just sick. And you hear it here on the L.A. School Show. My God. It's really getting out of hand. So anyway, we're going to go to our friend. I'm going to call her Tex Mars right now. And
talk to him about his new video?
Yep. Yeah, let's see here.
Number there?
Yep.
We haven't had him on for quite a while, so it'll be fun to talk to him.
it too. That's Mars at this point.
He's in Texas, obviously.
Hello?
Hello, is Tex there?
Yes, he is. Just a moment, please.
This Tex Mars.
Hi, Tex. This is Leo. How are you?
Hey, great, Leo.
And I got Lila here, too.
Hi, Tex. How are you?
Hey, Lila. We're going to have a good time tonight, then, aren't we?
We sure intend
forward to it, yeah.
Yeah, how have you been? We haven't talked to you in quite a while.
Well, I've just been doing great, working hard, but enjoying it, and wanted y'all to know that I got online and read Leo's articles on his website. Very interesting.
Oh, you did?
Oh.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, they were very good. Well, very well written, so they sort of kept my interest, you know, going. And so, yeah, thank you for that.
Well, thank you. And, we've enjoyed your work for a long time, and I've got a number of your books there that I review every now and again. But I'm very excited about this this new video that you have out, Die America Die.
Could you talk to our audience about
that?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, one of the things when I saw your columns, Leo, and I was reading, I found interesting is you identified yourself basically as a progressive, but then on the other hand, you know, you're one of these guys that, you know, you're not lockstep with anybody. You know, you're an independent thinker.
My old radio manager, he says, Leo, you piss everybody off. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's pretty good. I like that. Well, the reason I mention that is Die America, Die is like that too. You know, a lot of people think of me as a conservative, but I'm not a neocon. And you know, actually, I was raised. My father was a union worker. He worked at a chemical refinery, really, and is a member of the union. So he was always, you know, he wasn't a real big activist, but he certainly, you know, supported the working people and all of that, the unions. And so those are the kind of publications that would always be the oil, chemical, and auto workers unions, you know, publications around their house. So that's what I would read, you know. So I was really into John F. Kennedy and all that as a young man because that's the way I was raised. So I'm sort of like that too, you know. I think the real truth is today that, you know, Republicans, Democrats, you really can't find anything to tie up with. I think a person is just they're just very foolish if they believe that, you know, the Democrats are really what they pretend to be, and the same thing goes with the Republicans.
I think the eyes of more and more people are being opened to this.
We've noticed it in our ratings, and we've noticed it over the years. I'll tell you, Tex, when we started off 10 years ago, you know, it was a whole different world, you know?
It was, yeah, yeah.
That's why we came out at that time. We were coming out. We were defending liberalism because it had been so
crushed
and so demonized. When actually the word itself wasn't anything to be demonized about. I mean, the dictionary definition is that a liberal believes in the betterment of mankind, the good of man. You know, that's what the Webster's Dictionary states, you know, and it's just like, and that was always what I always believed it meant. But unfortunately, it just got to the point where, you know, the conservatives just crushed it and communists kind of hijacked the name and it became a...
Didn't really mean anything.
Yeah, so...
Well.
Yeah, you know, so... It was kind of when I wrote my book, it was kind of a resurrection of that, trying to defend something, but it's, you know, it's kind of like trying to revive something that's dead. It's just, you know, you have
I think the real problem is, you know, you're a real progressive because you're for the human being. You're for the, when I say worker, you know, you're not just for the worker, but, you know, you're for being fair.
Yeah,
exactly.
And helping America grow and prosper and helping everybody participate in it. I believe that's, you know, I can see that from your writing and from just being on your program in the past. But unfortunately, you know, people get stuck in these grooves now. And I don't, you know, I don't mean to offend anybody. Well, actually, I don't mind that, actually, to be honest. But, you know, I think I began to really see this when I realized that, for example, that you know, John F. Kennedy was not really, you know, I always depicted him as a young man as a liberal.
Right.
You know, he certainly took on the steel companies and all of that, which I thought was a very heroic thing, to be honest with you. At the time, but you know, he certainly was not a Bill Clinton. I mean, Bill Clinton. You know, I can't see John F. Kennedy, and forget a little bit about his sexual peccadilloes. You know, they were really bad. The guy didn't have any morals. But in terms of American patriotism, I think he was a very wonderful president. Y'all may totally disagree with me on that. That's okay, but. But the thing about it is, you wouldn't recognize him. In fact, in the Bill Clinton thing, I mean, John F. Kennedy's not going to take any kickbacks. He's not going to invite Johnny Chung from, you know, Red China to give him money, or like Al Gore did, take, you know, some nonprofit Buddhist monk, you know, organization, temple to pump in money. So, you know, it's got so polluted. It did not surprise me, although it seemed to surprise a lot of progressives, that Obama, it was just like a, you know, the 440-yard relay. The baton was given from George W. to Barack Obama, you know. And it is, you know, very, you just grease the baton and it goes right on. They're both in the pockets of the bankers.
Yep, there was not a misstep in between.
No, and they, you know, and they fight over things that are inconsequential. I mean, I think they are. I mean, you know, I'm a Christian, but come on, what's the matter with contraceptives? It seems like a pretty good idea to me, you know. But people are fighting over these things when, you know, what they don't, you know, a guy like him saying we need to, what's his name, Santorum, we need to save babies by stopping abortion. I can identify with that, but then the man doesn't mind go out and killing a million Iraqis. There's a disconnect there between wanting to go and slay millions of Arabs who are human beings, you know, they really are human beings. and yet saying I really worry about babies being killed. I don't understand that mindset. It's inconsistent, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Everything that all these candidates have all been, it's just a three-ring circus. It's just one thing after another, and they're knee-deep. I say knee-deep. They're neck-deep in hypocrisy. I mean, the hypocrisy is so blatant with these guys that it just doesn't. You know, it just doesn't compute anymore, you know.
Well, things are going on with the Congress and Senate that are going to hurt us.
Exactly.
Because the eye is off what's happening with government right now,
and
it's distracting us from that.
And the only person who's actually been there and talking about it on his campaign stumps, speeches, is Ron Paul, you know. But,
that's true. Absolutely. And I don't think people can figure out whether he's a liberal or a conservative, can they?
It's true, but, you know, the one thing that bothers me so much about him is that I know he's a Mason. And you know, and his wife is in the set, and his kids are all rainbow kids or whatever. And, you know, this is like, this disturbs me because I know that he's still part of it as well. And, you know,
but how deep it is, and
yeah,
where it
exactly.
goes, you don't really
you know.
Know
where his commitment lies. I don't know.
But But and, his track record in Congress is pretty good for being consistent.
Had, and we had, and I should say, we had a strong. I had a number of interviews with John McManus, who's the president of the John Birch Society.
Uh-huh.
And they're actually on my archives, but you know, as I got to know, it made a lot of sense to me at one time, you know. And it was quite profound because they were on a liberal talk show and I wasn't giving them a hard time because they were making so much sense to me. But,
right.
But it wasn't until maybe a couple years ago when I found out that the Koch brothers were their biggest donors, okay, were biggest supporters. And, of course, the Koch brothers have been involved with everything, you know.
Great manipulation.
Yeah, you know, with Wisconsin, with the destruction of the unions, with the starting up of the Tea Party, you know, with the, you know. So what's your opinion of this? What do you think?
Well, if you're talking about the Koch brothers, I agree with you.
Yeah.
And of course, they're the biggest benefactors of what we would call the neoconservatives. And by the way, Are we on the air now?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, we are. It's wonderful to always talk honestly because I thought we hadn't started the program yet. Well, that's just great. Well, I love it. I thought we were just talking informally before the program began. Well, that's even better. See, it just makes for a wonderful show. Well, back to the Koch brothers. One of the things I discovered, for example, is that Herman Cain is basically a Koch brothers production. They set up these organizations across America in about 20 cities, and he became one of the principal speakers of those, getting pretty fat honorariums. Then the Koch brothers set him up, and I forget the name of the couple, but they're Jewish, you know, they're Zionist. And they set him up with a Zionist, pro-Zionist, pro-Israel couple who have written, ghost-written and written a number of books, and they wrote the book for Herman Cain. They spent a couple of weeks with him in New York City, where he was brought in by the Koch brothers, and they wrote his book. And I think it's called, you know, My Name is Herman Cain or something like that. You know, every politician has to have a book. Some of them can't even probably write a literate paragraph, so they have to have ghostwriters. That was probably true as much of, you know, Cain as it was George W. Bush, who I understood could not write a literate paragraph at all. As well. But in case of Herman Bush, this same Jewish couple, along with the handler they had for him, Mark, I forget his name now, but they all together went to Israel, and that's where Herman Cain was vetted by the Israeli billionaires, the very high-level Zionists there, and he was chosen then to run for president. That's why he came out of nowhere and had the money from the Koch brothers. So he is a Koch brothers production. And then you're absolutely right, Leo and Lila, because the Koch brothers were the main promoters of the Tea Parties. Now, this doesn't mean that every person who's a member of a Tea Party even knows this. Most of them don't. And some of the smaller Tea Party groups were actually, you know, founded spontaneously when, you know, sort of emulation of the others. And it just began to be a national movement. But generally, the whole impetus of the movement was because of the Koch brothers and other Zionist billionaires who got together. This is why they set their own people, Newt Gingrich, John McCain, if you can believe it, and Sarah Palin up as the darlings and, you just say, the dukes and duchesses of the Tea Party movement, even though none of these people would fit the bill for what the Tea Parties won't, because Newt Gingrich is a big spender, is really quite liberal, very liberal, and I'd love to talk more about that. In fact, I think the man is about as close as you could get to a communist New Ager as a candidate could be. I think he actually has always been to the left of Bill Clinton. But when I say to the left, remember, those categories don't necessarily work anymore, left and right wing. So that a left-winger is also probably in the pocket of the billionaires and Wall Street as much as a right-winger is. Again, they all get their money from the same people. So you have to understand that there is an over class that runs both the left and the right. And I suspect that people like Sheldon Adelson, who's given, you know, over $20 million now to Newt Gingrich, you'll find as the year goes on here, the campaign year, that he probably will give a significant amount of money to Barack Obama. For example, Sarah Palin has been given, as I understand it, a significant sum of money, and many of her aides, even right now, I think one of her chief aides is being paid from George Soros. And yet George Soros seems to be everything Sarah Palin is not. But here's something for you. Sarah Palin, and they, after I had exposed it, they even had an article on this in the New Yorker magazine, or New York, I can't remember which now, but you can find that online, where Sarah Palin wasn't just chosen at random, but she was vetted out. The guy, Crystal, of the, what is it, the Weekly Standard?
Yeah.
Magazine, which is basically a neocon Zionist magazine. He and Dick Morris, who was Bill Clinton's chief political advisor, but who's now, you know, gravitated over to the Republican side, and Dick Morris is also a Zionist Jew, and he and Crystal flew to Alaska and spent many hours with Governor Palin. And then Governor Palin, though, had already flown to Israel, where she was vetted there, and she was approved. In fact, she was called the most pro-Zionist of all 50 U.S. governors on the Tamar Yonah show, which is a popular talk show in Israel. So all of these things, she was set up. So when John McCain says he didn't even know who she was, hardly, that's a bunch of baloney. He was told, by the way, Lieberman and the others told him, you know, on the day that she did her speech, which I thought, actually, to be very honest with you, was a real wham-bang speech at the Republican National Convention. You have to give her credit for that speech she gave, which really made her a star. But it's interesting, she spent the day in her hotel room locked up with members of the AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. Those are the only ones, they and Joe Lieberman, senator, you know, from the New England guy, who's supposed to be a left-wing liberal Democrat, but of course now he's an independent, and he really is John McCain's buddy as a Zionist, and he's, you know, as much a warmonger as anybody else. In fact, more so than almost anybody else. He runs around with Lindsey Graham and John McCain, thus once again showing that the old categories make no difference at all anymore. But in fact, it was Lieberman and the top chieftains at the AIPAC who spent the day basically in the hotel room with Sarah, preparing her for her big, you know, debutante ball there at the Republican National Convention, where she gave her acceptance speech. So these are the kind of things we're into now with all of these candidates. Back to the Koch brothers, of course, you know, they work very closely. In fact, let me just say this. Here's a shocker for you. Foster Freeze, who is a billionaire, excuse me, but Foster Freeze, you know, is the guy that sort of made the comment about back in the old days, you know, women, birth control, all they did was put an aspirin between their knees.
Yep.
And held it tight.
That's right.
And they didn't have to worry about getting pregnant. I think you said Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC. Well, Foster Freeze, of course, is a billionaire, and he's the biggest backer financially of Rick Santorum. But in fact, Freeze is a business associate of the Koch brothers. So you see, there's the connection there. Basically, the Koch brothers would also then, if they weren't, you know, working with Freeze, they would be the big backers of Rick Santorum. But so, remember, Foster Freeze is not only an evangelical Christian, but today, basically, and I'm a witness of this incredible transformation that has taken place in evangelical Christian politics. But with Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, and the others, they brought in not only the moral majority and all of that kind of stuff, But basically, they brought a Zionist neocon theme into the Christian churches, so that your Southern Baptist, your Assembly of God, your Pentecostal, many of the so-called community churches, charismatics and so forth, that you see, they basically are tools of Zionist Israel. And that's all they are. Leo and Lila, I cannot tell you, being the head of a Christian ministry as I am, and having had three number one best-selling Christian books, so I have a very wide network in the Christian community, but I cannot tell you how many people have literally changed their doctrines in the last 20 years.
Really?
So that I can show you major names in the Christian community. You know, Falwell's dead, Pat Robertson's sort of going out. Swaggart and Baker and the others, Paul Crouch, have pretty well been embarrassed at their behavior. But these other people within the evangelical Christian community have changed their doctrine. Many of them actually do not preach Jesus anymore. They preach Israel. I know one man, he's in the Church of God denomination, Dr. Joe Chambers, who printed and told me recently that he now believes that when you die and you go to heaven and stand before the throne to be judged, the only question God will ask you is, what did you do about my chosen people, Israel? He won't care whether you trust Jesus or became a born-again Christian. All God wants to know is, what did you do about my chosen people, Israel? If you don't support Israel, their foreign policy, if you don't support the wars in the Middle East, if you don't support the National Defense Authorization Act, the Patriot Acts, the Transportation Department, all of the police state apparatus, then you are an anti-Semite. Okay? My own sister, by the way, is a member of a Tea Party. And I asked her why she joined. Would you like to know what she said?
Oh,
I said, are you worried about the federal budget, Joyce? Is this why you joined this Tea Party? She's never joined an organization in her life like this. She said, no, I don't want Ron Paul to win. That's why I joined the Tea Party. I was shocked. I said, well, who do you want to win? She said, anybody that wants to go over there and nuke all those Arabs.
Oh, my God.
You better be kidding. Really?
No, that's what she told me. She said, I think we just ought to go over there and blast him and get rid of all of them. Because, she said, we've got to do it for Israel. God will bless us if we go over there and massacre all of the Arabs, the Muslims. We've got to get rid of them. They're destroying America. They're going to have mushroom clouds all over America, she said. They've got nuclear weapons. They're hiding them. She's absolutely insane. And I said, well, how many other people in your Tea Party are like this? You know, and most of us. That's why we're there. We want to make sure they don't cut that defense budget. And so she doesn't worry about the defense budget. I said, you're not worried about having troops, military installations in 130 nations around the earth? Oh, we need that. We need every one of those.
Oh my God.
And I said, well, Joyce, I said, you know that what they're saying now is we must cut Social Security and Medicare. Well, you know, they don't mind cutting those entitlements.
Mm-hmm.
Even Obama says he'll go along with that. He's cut, $500 billion the next 10 years off of Social Security. I mean, even the Democrats, because they're basically just like the neocons, they're Zionists, Pelosi and all the others, they're in the same boat. I mean, they all go to the AIPAC and the ADL conventions, Leo and Lila. They're all working together. The evangelical Christians are basically Zionists now. When you go to a church, I can show you one of the largest evangelical churches in Austin. You visit there, they're actually dancing like as if they were at a synagogue. They dance in circles. And by the way, these are Bible churches. They're like Baptist.
Yeah.
They used to sit there very solemnly like, Southern Baptist. Now they're wearing prayer shawls, and at certain points they blow their shofar.
Oh,
I know you think, Tex, you're a fanatic, you're crazy. I promise you I'm not. And you know, the biggest movement in America today among evangelical Christians is what are called the Messianic congregations. That's where they have that men who say they're pastor, but they demand that you call them rabbi.
Oh, no.
And you go to a Christian bookstore, and I can give you six books. Give me 30 minutes to find them here on, you know, from Christian bookstore list, that are bestsellers that basically say the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim, and the last days, our last days enemy, are the Muslims. So basically, Obama or George W. Bush are working for God if they support Israel, but only if they support Israel. Now, my sister Joyce is convinced somehow that Barack Obama is a Muslim. That's very big among some in the evangelical community. They actually somehow got it in their mind that Barack Obama is a Muslim. It's almost insane.
Franklin Graham just apologized because, you know, tonight, or yesterday, I believe, he came out with an apology because he said that Barack Obama wasn't a Christian on the Meet the Press or something.
And that was Donald Trump's big thing.
Well, no, Trump said he wasn't an American.
Well, wasn't an American and didn't have a birth certificate,
yeah, right.
and all kinds of things.
But it was Franklin Graham,
right.
Billy Graham's son, that said he didn't believe that he was a Christian, and then he must have gotten a hell of a lot of hate mail or something and pressure from the White House because he came out today and apologized for
the statement.
Yeah, retracted that statement. So
I suspect that you can't judge a man's heart necessarily, but by his actions, I would say Barack Obama's not a Christian too. But then George W. Bush was not a Christian either.
That's right. He's got Zionists. I mean, you know, Zionist-loving warmongers. But
they are. And, you know, Barack Obama, let's face it, you know, I did the video Rothschild's Choice, saying that basically, well, let's not say that Tex Moore said this, but I quoted in my video some of the most well-known Zionist billionaire Jews in America that basically said Barack Obama is one of us.
Right.
The Chicago Tribune, that's owned by Zellner, a Zionist. The first time in 100 years that the Chicago Tribune has endorsed a Democrat for president, and that was because Zellner, you know. It was well known. Abner Mikva, who was White House counsel under Bill Clinton during the Monica Lewinsky scandal, very clever man, former federal judge, former congressman, really a mover and shaker in Democrat Party politics in Chicago, along with his pal Rahm Emanuel and others. But Abner Mikva basically says, "We raised," that's a quote in the Chicago Tribune. He was interviewed and he said, "Barack Obama," this is a quote, "will be America's first Jewish president." Now, that doesn't mean I'm not talking about bloodline, you know. Sort of like, you know, Bill Clinton, he relished the thought of being America's first black president, you know, meaning that he was close to the black community.
Yeah, but there was one guy that they just sent back to Israel, he was the editor or something that said Obama should be assassinated. You know, the one that a couple months ago.
That was very interesting. Yeah, they're in Atlanta, Georgia, the Jewish newspaper there.
Right, right. And I think the guy wound up getting, I know he lost his job, whether he went, he was taken back to Israel or not, I don't know. But I have to ask you this, Tex, because it's, you know, you're probably one of the foremost experts on it, and how close are we now to this total destruction of that was planned and seemed to be, I mean this whole Zionist
they're so far ahead of us,
you know, that, and they're destroying everything. and our Congress, and I mean, I can't trust a soul in our government system anymore, local or state or federal. I mean, they just all seem to be
these
monsters, you know, these strange Zionist monsters, you know,
they really are, and you know, and everywhere you turn now, you have people like Eric Cantor, who's
yeah.
not only, you know, Jewish, but hey, John Boehner does whatever, you know, Cantor says.
For sure.
And they all go to the ADL, the AIPAC meetings, and kiss up. They all Mike Huckabee, you know, who ran for president and now has a big program on the Fox Network. He was rewarded richly for being a Zionist. He just came back. I was reading in the Jerusalem Post. He was interviewed over in Israel, where the Jerusalem Post mentioned that Huckabee had come to Israel for his annual visit. Annually, he goes there and meets with various Israeli leaders, including Jewish rabbis and so forth. And, you know, what I think, it just gets his marching orders. But it was interesting to me, even Governor Perry, you know, who was a superb flop, you know, in the debates and really just fell apart, you know, in the Republican Party debates. But Governor Rick Perry of Texas, who was considered, you know, front runner for, what, a week or two? But Perry actually was brought to Israel by a very rich Zionist named Irving Katzoff, who's a rabbi, and he was given the Defense of Israel Award. And he regularly would fly, and here he is, governor of Texas, but he would regularly fly to Israel, and that's why he was such a super Zionist. All of these people have ties. Now, Mitt Romney is a very special case. And I would like your audience to know something, L.A. and Lila, that is absolutely shocking to me. They, you know, they talked about this Bain Capital.
Yeah.
Now, really, this struck my interest, and I had remembered a book that I had in my library, and I said, Bain Capital, that's the book I have. Some friend of mine sent it to me. This was before the political campaign this year even started. But it was about a man named Bill Bain, who actually, I think, originally was from either Georgia or Alabama. And he had founded this consulting company in Boston with a number of other people, including Mitt Romney as one of the principals, because Mitt Romney's father had given so much money to this group. So when Mitt Romney says, you know, I made money my own, you know,
yeah.
myself, well, actually, that's a big lie, and everybody knows that. His father was a multimillionaire many times over. And, you know, was you know, ran for president at one time. But in any case, Mitt Romney was with this Bain from the beginning, almost, this Bain company. It began as Bain Corporation. Now, in 2008, I believe it was, they spun off Bain Capital because they didn't want Mitt Romney to be torn and feathered if people really found out what Bain was all about. So they spun off a company which really is part of Bain. Now, what we have to understand is that Bain Capital, first of all, owns Clear Channel Communications.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Now, Clear Channel Communications, as you know, is the largest network, radio network in America, in the world, probably.
True.
Yeah.
And they have... they have subsidiary, I think, Premium and other groups, but they're the ones that brought Rush Limbaugh from Sacramento to WABC and gave him a national audience. They made, and by the way, Rush Limbaugh is a very unusual situation. He is, I believe, I call it controlled by a Jewish rabbi named Nathan Gutman. And he and Gutman regularly visit Israel together. So he has his own rabbi, Rush Limbaugh, named Nathan Gutman, who's from New York metro area. And Gutman introduced him to all the rabbis, the more powerful rabbis in New York City, and the heads of the yeshivas and all of that. So that basically they made Rush Limbaugh a star. But only, of course, he's got to push the Israeli Zionist agenda. But I want you to remember that Rush Limbaugh, I have film of him going to the Wailing Wall and putting on his yarmulke, skull cap, and everything with his pal, Rabbi Gutman. But he's not the only one. You know, Michael Savage also is a WABC man. He was brought in, made a star. His real name, of course, is Wiener, W-E-I-N-E-R.
Okay.
But they thought Savage would sound better, so they gave him that name. But when you look at Sean Hannity,
right?
He's a Clear Channel Communication. Let's see, who else? Laura Ingraham. All of them that we know of are products of WABC, which is the, you know.
Yeah, it was Roger Ailes.
Roger Ailes, yeah.
Right, from Fox. He's chairman of Fox now, but he was the guy, I believe, that found, discovered Rush Limbaugh, all right, in when he was working out in San Francisco there or something, or wherever, it is, out in California.
Yeah,
and,
Sacramento. Mm-hmm.
Sacramento. And he heard him on the radio, discovered him, and said and offered him a job, and set him up. And this was back in the early 90s, right? And then what happened was is he became Ailes, of course, became the head of Fox, you know,
mm-hmm.
Fox.
Right.
So all of Ailes' people. Wound up becoming, you know, that entire Fox agenda was all started up under, of course, through Murdoch, but, you know, Ailes. And but before I forget, I wanted to ask you this question because it was really quite not so much this question, but I wanted to know if you knew about the pedophilia connection between Santorum and Mitt Romney and Bain Capital.
No, I don't have it. No, you're ahead of me on that one. I don't know anything about that.
This website, because I trust the author. His name is Cass Ingraham, doctor, actually MD, and I had him on my programs a number of times. But he has he writes. He submits a lot of his stuff to Ron Paul. Franz Paul, but healthfreedom2012.com is his site. Okay.
Hmm. Okay.
healthfreedom2012.com/HF blog. Now he's got a number of great articles on that site, exposing Santorum, exposing Mitt Romney, and Mitt Romney's financial advisor, chairman of his
campaign,
financial chairman, okay, was the, I forget his name, Strider or something like that, was the head of these orphanages, training schools for the wayward children, okay, which
oh,
were
no.
Yeah, big subsidies by Bain, Bain and Big Buddies with Mitt Romney, but it turns out all of these schools were closed by the states for
horrible
child abuse. Okay,
horrible
and noted pedophilia. Okay, they were running these kids out
they were chicken farms, really.
Right, chicken farms.
Oh my goodness, was there any connection with the Sandusky and Penn State?
Sandusky and Santorum were tight buddies. Santorum, okay, even after Sandusky was indicted, okay, last year, all right, when he was indicted, Santorum stood up for him and gave him the angel, the Congressional Angel Award. Okay,
oh, my goodness gracious.
For Second Mile. Okay, and then on top of that, okay, to make even matters even worse, turns out Santorum also was housing pages, okay, in Washington, okay?
Mm.
All right, and we was housing pages, and these pages were coming from places like, you know, coming from these chicken farms, okay? Now,
he also defended that.
And he defended Foley. Remember Foley from, I think it was in Florida?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the guy that was doing it with the pages and.
That's right. Well, it turns out that those pages were pages that Santorum was farming out. Okay.
Well, you'd have to read that article.
I did read the article. It's all in there. So it's like, but you got to read. Go to his website. He's got a number of good articles on there.
And he's strong connections there.
And he's forwarded those to the Ron Paul, the Daily Paul, and they're publishing them as well.
Well, I'm going to look for that because, you know, your common sense tells you, and you look at the big picture, that the Sandusky, what we know about that is just the tip of the iceberg. And there is certainly a reason, and I think we'd all agree, that the DA there suddenly turns up missing.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, they obviously have murdered him when he began to investigate again into that, and it goes much deeper throughout the state, probably a number of other states. Of course, Rick Santorum, you know, is very close with Arlen Specter, who I think is one of the most corrupt monsters in the Congress.
But he's also Specter was also a Catholic Jesuit connector. He was connected. He was the Vatican connection, believe it or not. That came out years ago. That he was the Vatican connection there in Congress.
Wow. You've got all of these sordid things like this, and I also discovered that in Rick Santorum's office they placed, and I don't know who they are right now. But, you know, as I told you, he's supported by Foster Freeze, who's a Koch brothers man. He also had a Jewish rabbi, or still has a Jewish rabbi, who they brought, I think, basically, to be the controller in his office. A rabbi from New Jersey named Michael Cleish. So, I mean, what Catholic senator from Pennsylvania brings into his office a Jewish rabbi?
Very strange.
Yeah.
If a Jewish U.S. senator had a Catholic priest, you know, actually, you know, doing his, you know, being his executive assistant, you'd think that's crazy. Well, this guy's actually a Jewish rabbi, Michael Cleish, from New Jersey. He also worked, by the way, in the presidential campaign last time of Rudy Giuliani, but for some years he worked for Santorum. So here again, these same connections and all of these people, you mentioned Roger Iles. I have pictures. I'm working on a new video now. I have photos of Roger Iles and Bill O'Reilly at the annual AIPAC convention. And Bill O'Reilly went to California and was one of the keynote speakers at the Jewish ADL National Convention a couple of years ago. So that's why Bill O'Reilly is such a warmonger. That supports, you know, Zionism.
We just need to make an announcement
now. We got about 2 minutes left, and I before we go into overtime, and the show is a continual recording, so it's not a problem. But we're going to lose our stream here in about 2 minutes. But I just wanted to mention that I want to thank everybody who joined us. You can pick up the rest of this in the archives. However, there is one caller that's called here, and I wanted to get him on right before the end here. If you don't, would you mind taking a caller? Or?
Oh, be glad to. Glad to, Leo.
Hang on 1 second. Hello, 111. Would you like to say something to Tex?
Yes, I'd like to ask Mr. Mars a question, if I could.
Sure. And who are you? What's your name? Your first?
Well, Mr. Mars, I think you know who I am.
No, I don't know you. I'm sorry.
Well, let me tell you. We've
you haven't told us yet.
Yeah, the name is Mike Stathis, and I'm wondering why you
Mike,
are not critical
are
of Alex Jones, who protects the Jews. You're friends with Alex Jones, and it makes me suspicious of you. You banned me. You didn't want me to come on your show, despite my expertise, my world authority on the economic collapse, on healthcare. Implicating the Jews, the Jewish mafia. So it's a bit strange to me. And I think that you're a fraud, to be honest, because you do support Alex Jones. Alex Jones supports the Jews. He covers up for the Jews, and you're his friend.
Well, I don't know if you want to want to defend that, or do you want me to just hang up on it? I'm like,
oh, I don't mind saying very, very, very quickly, but very affirmatively, that I've been a friend of Alex Jones for many, many years, and just like many friends, he and I don't necessarily see eye to eye on things, and sometimes we have some very serious talks about that. So anyway, that answers that question. But Alex Jones continues to be my friend, and I've known the man for, oh, I don't know, probably 20 years.
You know who I am.
No, I'm sorry, I don't know you.
Well, you know the Jews have banned me. Well, you know, we exchanged emails. The name is Mike Stathis. I wrote this about this depression 5 years ago in a book, America's Financial Apocalypse. I implicated the Jews in all this stuff. I've been exposing all this stuff, and I see a lot of frauds out there. Almost everybody out there that exposes the Jews are the frauds. You have a lot of good information, but I honestly believe that you've been bought off. You've let money take you away.
Okay.
That's what I believe.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, I'm gonna cut him off there, Tex, because
bring you on for that.
We didn't bring you on to get
money. Oh, well, y'all, that's okay. I don't mind folks like that, but you know they need to have some documentation proof when they say things like that. But when you're in the business that we are, I'm a very patriotic American, and you put yourself out front in the truth business, you're going to get folks like that. I really don't mind them.
No. Listen, we all take crap, but I wanted to just say this guy, he kind of took over a show one day.
Is that right?
And it was okay because it was a program that I didn't have a specific guest, but he had a lot of information to relay. But I invited him back on the show, for another time. And for some reason he got strange and decided not to come on. So he never bothered to cancel. So I don't know, but if you look at his stuff, he did write this book and that book and so on, but and he attacks the Jews and he attacks everybody. But as far as I'm concerned, that isn't really an issue. And I'd rather not have him go after you. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't actually.
I'm not offended at all. And really, if he's still listening to us, if he would be kind enough to send me his materials, I'll be glad to look him over, and I apologize for not knowing him. Maybe I should, but Leo, you and Lila, y'all get so many materials. People send you books and materials and want to be guests, and I try to be fair to everybody, but I work about 18 hours a day now, so I'm way behind in every bit of my work. But I appreciate him calling in and giving his view, and I hope he'll change his mind about my being a fraud. If he doesn't, okay, but I hope he will.
Thanks. I gotta add it to you. Your material has proven to be quite accurate, and I've checked it out. And you go the distance on a lot of this stuff. But I was kind of surprised. I'm very anxious to see to get a copy possibly of that video. I was wondering if you might be able to send me one, because I'd like to look at it and review it and have you back on and talk about it.
Oh, absolutely. You mean the video Die, America, Die?
Yeah.
Very interested in that.
The one of the first books I got of yours was Codex Magica. And then,
oh, yes.
I love that. And then I had, of course, the Conspiracy World. And I'm sure there was another one as well. But... And I've enjoyed your newsletter each week. I'm not taking a look at it, but and always enjoy having you on. But I wanted to before we go there. I know I'm taking up more of your time here, but I just wanted to say, my greatest concern right now is how this whole thing is going to end. I mean, we're in the 2012. Mayan concept here and mind mold, and we want to know. I mean, is this what the Illuminati has been planning all along to destroy this country now and destroy a good portion of the population? within the next.
And to bring about war in the Middle East.
And to bring about, you know, whatever, one world government in the next year or two.
You know, it may very well be, and not because the year is 2012, but because we've reached this pinnacle of financial fraud in the world. Talking about fraud again, right? But it certainly is true. And you know, when you look at the economic situation, we know that there are at least $800 trillion in derivatives, you know, so-called CDS swaps, because of the mortgage debacle that we had when everything was leveraged up to about 70 to 1. And even now, for, you take... You know, in my video, Die America Die, and I'm going to send you and Lila a copy of that tomorrow morning, have my assistant send it to you, and I apologize for not having it to you earlier. But in there, I show very clearly that the oil from Iraq is being laundered through Red China. Red China is paying $2 a barrel for oil. The Chinese National Oil Company works with BP, which is a Rothschild group. And they built, through Halliburton, we taxpayers of the United States have built these two new pipelines going through Israel and southern Lebanon into the Mediterranean. And tankers are leaving day and night with oil from Iraq going over to Red China. That's one of the exposures in my video that the mainstream media just absolutely refused to tell people. So when you have a country... And by the way, Iraq is now the world's number one producer of oil other than the United States. The United States, well, maybe I'll save this for another program we can be on, Leo, but in fact, the United States is now a net exporter of oil. We have more oil than we can use in the United States, and this is an unbelievable turnabout that's occurred particularly in the last 4 or 5 years. America is awash in petroleum. We can never use all the petroleum we've got. They're finding so much oil, it's coming out our ears in America. But the banks that control the oil futures markets, not the major oil companies now, although they are in collusion, the banks control the oil futures market. According to the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, two banks alone, Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs, control 80% of the oil futures market, and they are artificially keeping up the price of oil and gasoline. They're breaking the backs of Americans, and all of the money is going to Red China because Iraq is they're getting all of the Iraqi oil. The Iraqis now produce more oil than Saudi Arabia does, and as I said, it's going by pipeline. It's going finally ending up in Red China.
Well,
I thought we were supposed to be the great beneficiaries of that Iraqi oil.
Well, that's what Dick Cheney told us, right? But in fact, and I would like your audience to challenge and say, Tex Morris, he has to be wrong about this. Please go on Google and just type in that search engine, type in China National Oil Company, BP, Iraq.
Are you there?
Hello?
Oh, he cut himself out, I think. He's
no?
Still on. He's still on.
Still on. Hello?
Oh. Huh.
What happened?
His line dropped. Yeah. He dropped. I can't call him back because it's at the end of the show. I'll give him a call.
Well,
so we want to thank everybody. We want to thank Tex, and I'm going to give him a call here in a minute. But we want to thank him for being on and hope to have him on again.
Yeah, he did a great
soon.
Job. And we want to thank our caller for calling, but he needs to understand that.
So
Tex answered his question, and it wasn't a forum for arguing.
So, but I want to thank everybody for listening tonight, and join me again tomorrow night right here at 8 o'clock. So,
thanks very much, folks.
And check out TexasPowerOfProphecy.com.
Great site.
All right, and have a good evening.